Mimi, fourth floor. She's not in the apartment right now. I know because I've been watching from my bedroom window. All the lights are off on the third floor, the room in darkness. But for a moment, I actually think I see him appearing out of the shadows. Then I blink and of course there's no one there. But it would be like him. He had this habit of showing up unannounced, just like he did the second time I met him. I'd stopped by this old vinyl store on my way back from the Sorbonne, pêle-mêle. It was so hot. We have this expression in French, soleil de plomb, for when the sun feels as heavy as lead. That was what it was like that day. Hard to imagine now when it's so cold out. It was horrible. Exhaust fumes and sweaty, sunburned tourists crammed together on the pavements. I always hate the tourists, but I hate them most of all in the summer, bumbling around, hot and angry that they came to the city rather than the beach. But there were no tourists in the store because it looked so gloomy and depressing from the outside, which is exactly why I like it. It was dark and cool. Like being underwater. The sounds from outside muted. I could spend hours in there in my own little bubble, hiding from the world, floating between the stacks of vinyl and listening to record after record in the scratched glass booth.
Hey!
I turned around. There he was. The guy who'd just moved in on the third floor. I saw him most days, wheeling his Vespa across the courtyard, or sometimes moving around in his apartment. He always left the shutters open. But close up it was different. I could see the stubble on his jaw, the coppery hairs on his arms. I could see he wore a chain around his neck, disappearing beneath the neckline of his t-shirt. I wouldn't have expected that somehow. He seemed too preppy. Up close, I could catch the tang of his sweat, which sounds kind of gross, but it was a clean, peppery smell. Not the fried onion stink you get on the métro. He was kind of old, like I'd said to Camille. But he was also kind of beautiful. Actually, he took my breath away.
It's merveille, isn't it?
I nearly dropped the record I was holding. He knew my name. He'd remembered. And somehow, even though I hate my name, on his lips it sounded different. Almost special. I nodded because I didn't feel like I could speak. My mouth tasted of metal. Maybe I'd bitten my tongue. I imagined the blood pooling between my teeth. In the silence, I could hear the ceiling fan. Whoomp, 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 like a heartbeat. Finally, I managed to speak. Most people call me Mimi.
Mimi, suits you. I'm Ben.
His English accent, the bluntness of it.
We're neighbours. I moved into the apartment on the third floor a few days ago.
Je sais, I said. It came out like a whisper. I know. It seemed crazy that he thought I might not know.
It's such a cool building. You must love living there.
I shrugged.
All that history, all those amazing features, the cav, the elevator.
There's a dumbwaiter too. I blurted it out. It's one of my favorite things in the building. I wasn't sure why, but I suddenly wanted to share it with him. He leant forward.
A dumbwaiter?
He looked so excited. I felt a warm glow that I'd been the cause of it.
Really?
Yeah, from back when the building was a proper hôtel particulier. It belonged to this countess or something, and there was a kitchen down in the cave. They'd send food and drink up in it, and the laundry would come back down.
That's amazing. I've never actually seen one of those in real life. Where? No, wait, don't tell me.
I'm going to try and find it.
He grinned. I realized I was smiling back. He pulled at the collar of his t-shirt.
Christ, it's hot today.
I saw the small pendant on the end of the chain come free. You wear a Saint Christopher? Again, I just kind of blurted it out. I think it was the surprise at seeing it, recognizing the little gold saint.
Oh.
He looked down at the pendant.
Yeah. This was my mum's. She gave it to me when I was small. I never take it off. I kind of forget it's there.
I tried to see him as a child and couldn't. Could only see him tall, broad, the tanned skin of his face. He had lines, yes, but now I realized they didn't make him look old. They just made him seem more interesting than any of the guys I knew. Like he'd been places, seen stuff, done stuff. He grinned.
I'm impressed you recognized it. You're a Catholic?
My cheeks flamed. My parents sent me to a Catholic school. A Catholic girls' school.
Your papa really hoped you'd turn out a nun, Camille said, the closest thing he could find to a chastity belt.
Most kids I know, like Camille, went to big lycées where they wore their own clothes and smoked cigarettes and ate each other's faces in the street at lunch break. Going to a place like the Sœurs Servantes du Sacré-Cœur makes you into a total freak. Like something out of the kids' book Madeleine. What it means is you get stared at in your uniform by a certain kind of creep on the métro and ignored by all the other guys. Makes you unable to talk to them like a normal human being, which is probably exactly why Papa chose it for me. Of course, I didn't stay the whole time at the SSSC. They had some trouble with a teacher there, a young man. My parents thought it best I leave, and for the last few years I had a private tutor, which was even worse. I saw Benjamin Daniels looking at the record I was holding.
Velvet Underground, he said. Love them.
The design on the front of the vinyl sleeve by Andy Warhol was a series of pictures showing wet red lips opening to suck soda from a straw. Suddenly it seemed somehow dirty and I felt my cheeks grow warm again.
I'm getting this,
he said, holding up his record.
The Yeah Yeah Yeahs. You like them?
I shrugged. Je ne sais pas. I'd never heard of them. I'd never listened to the Velvet Underground record I'd picked up either. I just liked the Warhol design. Had planned to copy it in my sketchbook when I got home. I go to the Sorbonne. But what I'd really like to do, if it were left up to me, is art. Sometimes, when I've got a stick of charcoal or a paintbrush in my hand, it feels like the only time I'm complete. The only way I can speak properly.
Well, I've got to run.
He made a face.
Got a deadline to meet.
Even that sounded kind of cool, having a deadline. He was a journalist. I'd watched him working late into the night at his laptop.
But you guys are on the fourth floor, right? Back at the building? You and your flatmate. What's her name?
Camille. No one forgets Camille. She's the hot one, the fun one. But he'd forgotten her name. He'd remembered mine. A few days later, a note was pushed under the apartment door.
I found it.
I couldn't work out what it meant at first. Who had found what? It didn't make any sense. It had to be something for Camille. And then I remembered our conversation in the record store. Could it be? I went to the cupboard that contained the dumbwaiter, pulled out the hidden handle, cranked it to bring the little cart upwards. And I saw there was something in it. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs record he'd bought in the store. A note was attached to it.
Hey, Mimi. Thought you might like to try this. Let me know what you think. B.
Kiss. Who's that from?
Kemi came over, read the note over my shoulder.
He lent it to you?
Ben? I could hear the surprise in her voice.
I saw him yesterday, she said. He told me he'd love it if I could feed his kitty, if he ever goes away.
He's given me his spare key.
She flipped a lock of caramel-colored hair behind one ear.
I felt a little sting of jealousy.
But I reminded myself he hadn't left her a note.
He hadn't sent her a record.
There's this expression in French.
Être bien dans sa peau.
To feel good in your own skin.
I don't feel that way often. But holding that record, I did. Like I had something that was just mine.
Now I look at the cupboard that has the dumbwaiter hidden inside it. I find myself drifting over to it. I open the cupboard to expose the pulleys, crank the handle just like I did that day in August. Wait for the little card to come into view.
What?
I stare. There's something inside it. Just like when he sent me the record.
But this isn't a record. It's something wrapped in cloth.
I reach down to pick it up, and as I close my hand around it, I feel a sting. Hold my hand up and see blood beading from my palm.
Merde.
Whatever is inside here has cut me, biting through the fabric. I drop it, and the cloth spills its contents onto the ground.
I take a step back.
Look at the blade, crusted with something that looks like rust or dirt but isn't. Something that's also streaked all over the cloth it was wrapped in. And I start to scream.